Four Midwest Guys presents Origins of Justice, a four-part Four Midwest Guys miniseries. Part 2, The Best and Worst of Superman.
Hello everybody and welcome back to Four Midwest Guys presents The Best and Worst of Superman this time. That's right, this is part two of our Batman vs. Superman miniseries. Today with me is Mr. Brian Akebauer.
Hey, what's up, what's up?
What's going on, B? My brother Aaron.
Hey, how's it going, man?
And the Dirty Jay-Z. Gotta love John Williams. Alright, so today we will be looking at Superman, Best and Worst. We will look at this through, we're going to take a look at his history real brief, because we all know, everybody knows it pretty much by now. If you don't, I don't know what we can do. We will help you a little bit, but otherwise you've been living under a rock. We'll look at history, we'll look at Superman's place in the, also in the Justice League universe. We'll take a look at the best movie slash TV Superman, our picks, our worst Superman movie slash TV, our favorite portrayals, and then we'll finish with final thoughts. So let's just get right on into it. Johnny, why don't you break us down with a little bit of real quick background history on Superman.
Really quick history. As his home planet was about to be destroyed, his parents placed him in a spaceship and sent him to Earth, where he was adopted by the humans that lived there and grew up to become Son Goku. he grew up to become Clark Kent. When Clark, or Kal-El as he was known on his planet, mm-hmm. touched down on Earth, they sent him to Earth because the Kryptonians race looked similar to the human race, but because he got closer to a yellow sun, that started to give him, like, near godlike powers, actually probably even becoming a god with the powers. Mm-hmm. He was raised on a basic, like, as middle America as you can get in Kansas, and then as he grows up, he
comes, like, geographically, the
middle of America. grows up, becomes a reporter for Metropolis's newspaper, The Daily Planet, and he also grows up to become Superman as well. So he has, like, the dual identity of everyday Clark Kent and then the god Superman, so... Yeah, the only weakness that he has is
kryptonite.
Kryptonite, and most recently in the comics, like, he's become vulnerable to magical attacks.
Yeah, they actually even had that back in the animated series as well.
It's also in Smallville.
Oh. Yep.
Yeah.
So there you go. So Superman's not completely.
They never really explained why that was, though. It's just one of those things, like, just
probably because it's not of the Earth.
Yeah. It's not a physical thing.
Yeah, it's not a physical thing. So, yeah. But yeah, like, Superman, of course, incredibly strong, incredibly fast, nearly invulnerable, heat vision, heightened senses.
Yeah,
where to begin?
Yeah, his powers kind of change with the writers.
Right,
like, if they want to add something, they're just going to add it.
Yeah, or like Frank Miller is like, yeah, he's not Batman, so yeah, heck with him.
Yeah. I think I mentioned this last first part of our podcast. I mean, Superman has always been the symbol of hope. He's the what you aspire to, even if you never reach it. That's what your goal is. He's to inspire hope in you and to be a better person and whatnot. What's that?
Isn't this your final thought?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
It is from the last.
Oh, okay.
My final thought, actually. You're still with my thoughts.
Wait, are we done already?
Great. The show's over. All right, thank you. Where can you find us?
I just thought we'd all talk about...
So Twitter Quest 2016.
since we're talking about the history of Superman, I thought we'd all give our own version of what we think Superman is.
It's us.
Okay.
That's all. Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. So, yeah.
So, Brian, what... what's Superman to you?
Guy in a red cape.
Okay. All right, guy in a red cape. Johnny? Pretty much everything you just covered?
No. Well, I'll go into it a little more. But essentially, he is... It's his place in the DC universe. I mean, he's the Boy Scout. He is the ideal. He has that strong sense of moral good that he got from being raised in rural America. And he has, he has that sense of moral well-being and everything. And yeah, I mean, he's the person that never compromises on that, but not in a way that makes him seem like he's impossible to work with, but just someone who...
He sticks to his ideals.
Sticks to the ideals of good. And mm-hmm. for many people, that's boring, but that's... I want to save it more for my final thoughts, because I always feel like I have to defend Superman so much as a character, because it's he's kind of a difficult person to portray, because it's almost like saying, how can you write God?
Not necessarily that extent, but it comes kind of close to how powered up he's been in recent years, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you definitely, he is a moral center in the Justice League of the DC Universe as a whole. You definitely see him being a character where kind of his own moral internal battles actually are somewhat more prominent in, like, his storyline than, like, say, some of the more powerful characters. And I think part of that doesn't work in the, like, film universe they've used for him is because they constantly try to pair him against Lex Luthor. They never give him a powered-up villain, unless you count, like, Zod, which even then, not really.
And even then, well, it's just, for me, it's... When you get into the movies, what makes him interesting isn't the fact that you give him a villain, it's the fact that you give him something to stand for.
Well, yeah, but
to
have
his morals embodied on screen.
Well, that's kind of where I was going with the... Like, if you compare him to, say, like, a character like Darkseid, who is equally powerful but uses his power in a different way, it goes for a nice contrast, whereas Lex Luthor, you can say he's kind of greedy and you know, out for himself, but he also does have valid points about how far Superman could go if he wanted to.
And I think that's always been the hard thing to portray. I think that's...
Yeah, you really have to deal with a lot of the internal...
The morality,
yeah, a lot of the kind of pseudo-philosophical aspects of Superman. And that's really hard to do in a two-hour film.
Well, unless you have it like the Nolan approach, like what we mentioned before with Christopher Nolan's films, is that he actually believed in the intelligence of his audience and let that play through. And you can do that. You can play themes in a big-budget film.
Yeah, well, I mean, you do see that in Man of Steel to an extent, but it's kind of... It's thrown down and simplified. Like, it's... I hate when they constantly do the Christ-like pose for Superman.
Oh, you mean like every frame of him in Superman Returns?
Pretty much a lot of his films, really. If we're being honest about it, it probably pops up at least once or twice in all of them. Mm.
I think we're already getting into like our favorite Superman movie. Actually, we might be getting to our least favorites here.
Yep.
So it's kind of covering that, because I think we're also covering the final thought aspect of it.
Just blending the whole show together.
Yeah, it's being a bit more fluid.
I just thought we'd just take a minute and just give our quick thoughts. Nothing
that's fine.
Too terribly in depth, but it kind of went there anyway, but that's okay. So let's go right into best Superman movie / TV role. Brian?
Mine's going to be a tie between Man of Steel, which I really liked, and Smallville. Mm. I think those touched on, you know, seeing Man of Steel on the screen, I really enjoyed watching that movie. Kind of felt like I was there, felt more realistic than some of the other ones, the more, you know, the cartoony. Yes, the tone of the movie was kind of downplayed a little bit, and it wasn't as colorful. But I think, and I took away from the color aspect of it, but it also made it seem more realistic, kind of like it could happen, like an alien coming through us. Smallville, obviously.
Like, I see no color in this room right now, like Man of Steel.
Smallville.
Oh, yeah, Smallville.
Was definitely one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. And it followed all the way through. Yes, there was some spots where they brought in characters that probably shouldn't have been in there.
Right. Just during the writer's strike, you mean?
Yeah. Like, just to bring them in. But even still, I think that series for me held up well as being a Superman.
Yeah, I wish they'd done movies on Smallville, honestly. But yeah,
Tom Welling should have been the actor in Superman Returns that year.
I agree. Can't argue with that. Aaron, what's your favorite?
I think for me, it probably wouldn't be any of the movie adaptations as much as it would be Superman the animated series. Mm-hmm. I think it got the tone of Superman. I think it had enough time where it could kind of occasionally touch on like the more moral philosophical aspects, and it kind of allowed to explore, you know, Metropolis and his villains a bit more. Yeah. Close to that might be the old 1940s cartoons.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. It's interesting. Like, it doesn't really showcase the Clark Kent character that heavily, but it really is interesting because it shows the difference in his power ranges at the time. Mm-hmm. Like, you look at like how Superman was originally written. He fought the occasional mad scientist or a corrupt billionaire or...
My favorite's the giant robots.
Yeah, that was, like, those sort of things. Like, the automatons and... Like, he really isn't the gigantic, all-powerful being that you have in the later adaptations.
And it's interesting just to see, like, the early works of it and the early interpretations of it.
Yeah, well, the one thing I want to touch on with that, actually, that's one of my earliest memories, is watching the 1940s cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
The animation on that is superb. Yeah, I mean, considering that animation, like, was just being started out.
Yeah,
like,
it was hand-drawn.
Hand-drawn, yeah. And the fluidity, the motion, the color, the capture, everything on it. I mean, it's gorgeous to watch, even today.
It's kind of like a Western, you know, approach like Astro Boy for the same time period. Well, even though I actually think the animation of Superman's a little better.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like, it actually even kind of reminds me of the Batman animated series, in a way.
Yeah, it definitely has, like, those kind of hard buildings. Like, it, in terms of, like, the building structures, it does go to a similar dynamic.
Yeah, the Art Deco noir gothic look is...
It actually is really similar, now that you bring it up.
Johnny?
You know, I will go with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of hard for me because I loved the how the original Christopher Reeve Superman was brought to the screen. But if we're going to talk about, like, what was the most exciting, what was the most interesting, what was the most dynamic of the Superman films, I'm going to go with the second one, because
Superman 2
fight
Zod,
because not only do we have a superhero fight, like, not just one, but he's fighting three at the same time, and you also have him having this inner conflict of, well, you know, do I want to be human so I can enjoy my life? I mean, that was the closest that any portrayal of Superman has ever gotten to making him relatable and making him interesting, and I loved it. I love every bit of how that story came across. The fight scenes still hold up well. The effects may not have aged well, but it's 1981.
Actually, so. I wouldn't mind them remaking that with just updated fighting scenes or something.
Yeah, but the one thing I want to bring up, and we'll probably get into this when we discuss our worst. In the fight scene with Zod on that one, that's why I think he is a better portrayal of Superman in that, because the Superman would be out there trying to save the inhabitants of the city. He would not just be punching everyone straight through and, you know, just letting everything fall wherever it may, because that was
defense. Like, that was their portrayal of Superman's first encounter with a being of that power, his.
Well, I'll get into more of my thoughts about that later, but...
Yeah.
Just trying to, you know, play devil's advocate and defend it a bit.
Well, at least with Superman 2, I didn't feel like he was raised by a sociopath.
Oh, saying just to let him die.
I'm going to save that for the next part.
Okay.
All right, I will end this segment. My pick would be Smallville. And I'd also agree with you, Aaron, that a tie would be the animated series. Smallville captures, I think, I love the build-up. We don't really even see Superman in Smallville until the very end of the series. But the way that they portray him, the way that he goes about becoming Superman and all the trials and tribulations that he's put through by Jor-El, even, you know, through the Crystal Palace, which is in the series, it embodies the Superman mantra. It expanded the myth around Superman and took it to new places I didn't think that existed, and just expanded. It made me enjoy the Superman story that much more. To your point about the animated series, it did have, like, more of the feel. One of my favorite episodes of the animated series is Superman versus Darkseid. And you hear Superman go, "You know what the biggest problem is with me is having to live in a paper world. Always having like to hold back all the time." And he goes, "But you can take it, can't you, big boy?"
So I think that was one of the highlights.
That was definitely one of the highlights.
And he goes, "I have the rare chance to unloose and show how powerful I really am."
I'm actually trying to remember where I heard that line from when I was writing the notes for this.
Yeah, and it was from that, because he literally does like he's in the air, and he like, it's like a Superman punch while he's flying in the air. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's just...
that is one of the all-time great fights. And I love how that scene ends, too, where he throws them to the inhabitants.
To the inhabitants, and the inhabitants
save
them.
And he's like, do with them what they will. Like, my lord. And it's just like, it's such a great moment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that, to me, that captures the pure power, in essence, of Superman. So so that's why it's a tie with...
That's something I hope that when they make the movies that they actually follow.
And they can kind of incorporate
that. They can incorporate a lot of those moments.
Mm. Yeah. All right, so we've done the best. Let's get to the worst. Johnny, I know you've been holding back, so I'll let you loose first.
you know, I live in a paper world here, and now I feel like I can finally let go. I go back and forth between which is, you know, what makes a bad Superman film for me is something that feels like a real betrayal of the Superman character. And for as bad as Superman 3 and Superman 4 were, I mean, Superman 3 was at the fault of they wanted to make it funny, and they tried to make it, you know, more popular. So, of course, it's more Richard Pryor. But we get a great plot twist that, you know, we see in Office Space. So I can't fault it too much. It gave us a bit of Office Space. Superman 4 was at the mercy of the fact that it had a quarter of the budget of all the other Superman films, and it was made by one of the more embarrassing production companies of the 80s, and it's bad, but when I think of but it still felt like a Superman film in its respect, minus the United Nations address.
Superman has radiation poisoning. He's losing his hair.
Fighting a man that scratches you really hard. But no, like, if I had to pick between what is the worst portrayal of Superman, yeah, I go back and forth between Man of Steel and Superman Returns. Like, the two latest embodiments. Yes, because with Man of Steel, I was fine with it for the first half, but the second we started seeing the fights in Smallville, and so no, his fight with Zod was not his first. The second we saw the fights, and it was just IHOP, Shell, Sears, product placement left and right during the fights, and the fights just were boring. They went nowhere, and it got boring after a while to watch those fights. It wasn't like watching him fight Darkseid or anything like that. And then every time they flashed back to Kevin Costner in that, it's like, again, it's not even a bad portrayal of Superman. It's a terrible portrayal of Jonathan Kent. Jonathan Kent gave Superman the moral grounding that keeps him who he is. And everything Kevin Costner said in that movie, you're going to raise a psychopath. That is the worst, worst stuff you could tell any child. It's just, ugh. And then his final scene where he's standing in the middle of a tornado, standing on his feet, perfectly straight, in the middle of a tornado, and just does the, no, don't save me, reaction. It's, ugh, it was awful. The fight scene in the end, and I'm going to address this. The only color I remember from this, you say you think of Superman, you think of a red cape. The only color I remember from Man of Steel was gray. Nothing but gray. Everything was... This was the first adaptation of 50 Shades of Grey to me, because there was nothing but gray in this movie. I'm fine with dark colors, and you know what? Yeah, not everything can look as bright and, like, heavily colorized like Batman and Robin. But there's a fine medium, and in the medium of Superman, at least make the colors more realistic. Don't take them completely out. That was my problems with Man of Steel, but the reason why I go back and forth between that and Superman Returns is Superman would never be an illegitimate stalker father figure. Ever. If he finds out he is a father, he would be a father. And that's what they had in this, is they hinted so much that Lois Lane's kid, who started getting sick around the kryptonite and threw a piano across the room, that was his son. Even before that, like when Clark can't get close to Lois or whatever, so what does he do? He stands however far away from her house, literally like the creepy guy in the bush with binoculars staring straight in there. It was icky to watch. It made you feel bad sitting in the audience.
The beginning of Little Nicky.
Yeah, or watching Endless Love, the original version of it. And then when you find out he's an illegitimate father, he just appears into the room and gives him the speech. And, oh, you're supposed to think, oh, does this make him good? No, it doesn't make him good. It says, oh, hey, I'm just going to still abandon you, but I'll peer in every now and then. And again, the dozens of Christ references. That was where it got exhausting. It was, I hear everybody calling out at once. When he falls to Earth, he's literally like falling like the mission pose with...
They did that in Man of Steel as well.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah,
Thank you for reminding me. Another reason why I hate it.
I feel like that's even true to the case to say even some of the older Superman films, but I really feel like the modern iterations have really gone with that direction for the character.
Right, but that's...
I'm not saying I'm agreeing with it, I just think...
But at least with Superman Returns was the first time I actually saw him die, and then 3 days later rise again.
Okay, so... I don't know where how I'm going to pick up the mantle after that, but I'll try. My worst pick is half of yours, John. I would say mine is Superman Returns is probably the worst I've seen betrayal of Superman. Not only do you have the Christ-like references, not only do you have the Superman as an illegitimate father, but you waste it. A lot of potentially really good actors. I thought Brandon Roth could have done a hell of a lot better if he had been given probably better direction.
He's doing a hell of a job on Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, he is.
Just DC Legends. It's like, holy crap.
I saw him in that one episode of Flash, and I was like, that's not the guy I saw in the movie.
Hell, I liked him in Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
That actually was a cool movie.
That's a great movie.
I didn't see that one.
Really underrated film.
But yeah, I thought you wasted that. You wasted Kevin Spacey, Lex Luthor.
One of my favorite actors from the 90s.
Yeah, I think he could have done that. Awesome Lex Luthor, but they fucked that up too. And the plot. The plot was, we're just going to throw something together real quick, and we're going to make a really quick Superman movie, just...
Mountain of Kryptonite!
Right. Right, yeah, so...
Lex Luthor wants more land to sell, just like in part one, but he creates the most uninhabitable land in the world.
For Superman.
I kind of like the idea of Superboy, I ain't going to lie, but the way they went about doing it was wrong. I mean, I think, like you said, if Superman stepped up to the plate, you know, found out he had a son, took care of him.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to have the moral center of the DC universe just being like, you know what, I'm going to skidoot over here.
Yeah, I'm just going to...
And be the creepy guy in the bush.
Yeah.
You know,
because I thought, I liked how they did, the things I liked about the movie, I liked how they did a throwback to the original, how they kept the original... Marlon Brando, they used the lines Marlon Brando from the original Superman. Superman.
Yeah.
I did it again.
Bring up Star Wars on our podcast.
Superman.
Brian, no.
Yeah, no.
Brian, no.
No,
Brian.
So, but yes, I like how they did that, how they used the original music and everything. It was almost, and they were so, they could have made the best damn Superman sequel and kept it going, but no, they fucked it up.
They had all the money in the world, too. The
other
thing I'd like to bring up was, this is one of the first times you saw a live-action film. Like, they advertise so much, it's going to be in 3D. And I went to the theater.
I didn't even know this was a
3D. Oh, yeah.
Here's the thing.
We spent God knows how much money on the extra tickets, because, like, oh, man, Superman in 3D, this is going to be great. We get there, and they say, oh, yeah, only 15 minutes of this is in 3D. They give you a prompt of when to put your glasses on. It's the dumbest scenes, too.
It's kind of like Saw 3D, where it's only really useful for, like, two scenes.
Right, yeah. And it's just, it was, talk about another wasted opportunity there.
Yeah. There you go. Brian?
Mine would be Lois and Clark.
Yeah.
I like how you don't say Lewis and Clark.
Yeah.
Well, you might as well.
Yeah.
I think it's probably autocorrect. But yeah, that was just awful.
Yeah, it was just kind of a TBS drama.
It was Superman as a daytime soap.
Yeah, pretty much.
It was awful.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about it.
No, that's fair. That's all you have to say.
Really. There's not much else you can say. Yeah, I agree. Aaron?
For me, it didn't get made, but Superman Lives.
Is that the one?
It's Nick Cage in a mullet.
With Tim Burton.
Yeah, Tim Burton directing, Nick Cage in a mullet. You were supposed to have Brainiac being the villain, but it looks... Everything you've seen of what the film was going to be.
Yeah, they did like a thing of what even the Superman suit was going to look like.
Yeah,
it had
him on Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Yeah, like this is the film that was so bad, they're like, no, we're going to do Superman Returns instead.
Well, thank God. Thank God.
I've come here to stand for truth, justice, and the American way!
Yeah, like, I'm not sure the Superman character can... Like, I think Nick Cage can do fine in certain roles, but I'm not sure Superman's one of them.
As much of a fan I think as it he was to the comics. Did he name one of his kids Jor-El or something like that?
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I don't see Nick Cage.
But I think it would have taken Superman years to actually kind of kick back from that, to be honest.
Yeah, Warner Brothers would have lost their rights to the comics after that.
Yeah, I think
probably had an uprising on that one. Okay, so let's go back to positive. Ready? What is our favorite betrayal? You know what, Brian, why don't you take the lead on this one?
Okay, I'm going to say that when it's all said and done, mine's probably going to be Henry Cavill, or Cavill, however you pronounce it.
Cavill.
Prior to seeing Batman vs. Superman. So if that one tanks and he does a really horrible job...
I have a fallback thing.
Then I'm not going to probably say, you know, he's probably going to be good, because I'm thinking we're going to see him in that. We're going to see him in Justice League. We're going to see him in Justice League Part 2. Maybe see him in one of the other standalone movies.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm probably going to pick him to be my all-time favorite. However, Tom Welling from Smallville
was just
amazing.
One thing I want to add to Tom Welling as a choice, the thing that I like about Smallville, the way it worked for me, was like it captured, you know, Clark at that stage, which, you know, the awkward teen stages, but of course makes it even worse because he finds out, hey, I've got to hold back all these abilities and everything. Mm-hmm. I play football better than anybody else here, and I can't.
Right, he's a water boy or whatever, yeah.
Right, so, but yeah, I mean, it's a great portrayal of Clark Kent and Superman and what he becomes, and as the show progresses over, dear God, 10 seasons, and mm-hmm. to me, probably had one of the most satisfying series finales of all time.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about that show, I mean, everybody that was on that show portrayed the characters so well. You know, they have the Justice League episode with Aquaman and Oliver Queen.
And Cyborg. And
that was awesome.
I mean, it was just like, oh my God. And Lex Luthor.
Mm-hmm. Where's Michael Rosenbaum? Where's the love for Michael Rosenbaum?
He plays such a good
Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny because in a lot of the Justice League animated stuff, he's the Flash.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so he does a lot of animated stuff. I
love his voiceover as the Flash of the Justice League show.
It's so good.
It is hilarious. Like, yeah.
I'm just going to build off that. I'll tell you, I like Tom Welling. Probably my favorite portrayal as well. And Rosenbaum, because he's the perfect Lex Luthor in my mind.
And Flash.
And Flash, I guess. But the way Welling and Rosenberg
bounce off each other
and how they start as friends that whole dynamic.
Yeah, that relationship was great.
And the way he twisted and turned and stole his girlfriend from it was just perfect.
Yeah. Winchester in season 3.
And honestly, I gotta be honest, when he left for the final few seasons, it was hard to replace him. There really wasn't another villain that went up well against him.
The other cool thing, like if you ever find the outtakes from Smallville, those are some of the funniest outtakes I've ever seen on a show.
Oh, I bet.
You can tell they're having a good time.
Yeah, you can look, it does. It looks like they're having a good time. And I would love to return. I wish they would have made a movie. Or done movies, Smallville movies, like Superman.
Yeah.
10 season in a movie series.
Smallville, the Superman story, something. You know,
if that's one thing that we could bring back, it would be Smallville for at least a movie.
Yeah, exactly. Because I really like what they did. I love the character building. I love the Justice League. I love the Justice Association, the forerunner to the Justice League they did, where they had Hawkman, Hawkgirl, and Doctor Strange, or was it Strange? Yeah.
Doctor Fate.
That was just awesome. I mean, just awesome mixing. Well done. I'll just say the whole series, even though it's supposed to be our favorite Superman betrayal. I don't know. So, Aaron, any favorites?
I actually don't really have a favorite portrayal of Superman. I mean, the difference between a good Superman story and a bad one really comes down to writing for a lot for me.
That's fair.
So, I mean, even for like some of the bad, you know, films that have come out, like I think the actors actually did a decent portrayal.
Okay. Copy that. Hey, all right. Well, go ahead.
My choice is Christopher Reeve.
I'm terribly sorry. You're right. Go ahead.
Yeah, Christopher Reeve is my pick because he had that embodiment. He was a great Clark Kent. Had the great physical humor as adult Clark Kent,
mm-hmm.
and as Superman, really looked like an iconic figure. Like he was larger than life. I mean. Does he have, like, the padded-out muscles that we're so used to seeing in, like, your Rob Liefeld comics? No. But he really felt like a strong figure. And then, and again, it goes into, like, what we were talking about with Batman. he fits both roles so perfectly and does them both so well. So, yeah, Christopher Reeve is my pick. But I do want to point out that I think Ben Affleck is the only actor who, in some point, donned both the Superman and Batman uniform, because he played actor George Reeve in a movie called Hollywoodland.
Oh, okay.
That he actually got really good reviews for. It actually was one of the things that brought his career back as he started doing more independent films. So he played both Superman and Batman, technically.
And Daredevil.
And Daredevil.
Yeah.
Sweet. All right, guys. Well, I think we've covered Superman pretty well, so let's just get right to final thoughts. Final thoughts.
I think my final thought goes back to one of the things we were talking about early on in the podcast. I think for me, some of the moral, kind of pseudo-philosophical aspects of Superman are the more interesting aspects. He ends up being the moral center of DC, and if not the Justice League as a whole. And I think in the films, we've constantly seen him go up against Luthor and trying to make him the counterpoint to Superman the way the Joker's a counterpoint to Batman. But I actually think a character like Darkseid, who is equally powerful but uses that power in a different way, actually kind of emphasizes their difference in morality more so.
Maybe even Mongol.
Yeah, to an extent. Yeah. And I think, you know, without kind of giving that kind of powerful character, or without emphasizing the more moral, philosophical aspects of the character, it can kind of go into the more dull kind of, here is a character who's, you know, depending on the writer, is given every power underneath the book. And I think that's what it needs to emphasize on to a certain extent with Superman.
Okay. I'll just say, I kind of started with it, and I'll keep going with it, I guess, around with it one more time. You know, Superman embodies everything that is good. He's supposed to be, he's the hope of that you're supposed to inspire to. He's the opposite in many ways of Batman, where Batman is the Dark Knight. Superman is the White Knight. The guy who is the guardian of the moral high ground, which you aspire to be and whatnot. I think as far, and to kind of build off your final thought a little bit, Aaron, I think maybe a better bad guy for him would be Darkseid, but maybe a more devious Darkseid.
Hmm.
Maybe somebody who is not quite as powerful as Superman, but is close, but needs to be devious and actually even more immoral. To try to beat him,
Brainiac.
Brainiac would be a good villain.
I think that's kind of what you see with Darkseid to an extent, though. Like, he has almost all the power Superman does. Maybe a little weaker, but what he uses his power for is to conquer an entire planet, or you know, to enslave entire races.
But he's not really devious. He's just power hungry. He goes right on it. The most devious we ever saw him is where he made Superman think that he was.
But to be fair, I have Red Aaron's spec script for Superman versus Granny Goodness.
I don't even remember that character, to be honest.
I do. She was in Smallville. That's the only reason I know.
Oh, she was in the Justice League cartoons also.
Oh, she was the...
She was the one that was always fighting Supergirl.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I kind of remember who you're talking about.
But yeah, I think that would probably work better. Somebody who's just a slightly... Just to be the exact opposite. Because what makes Batman and Joker work so well, Joker is everything that Batman is.
So you think Brainiac works better just because he has that kind of immoral aspect of
him? Well, you have to have somebody, I think, a little bit more human than Brainiac. You got to have somebody who has the human qualities and is more devious and breaks more moral values to try to beat Superman. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that character really exists, unless I'm missing something. Well, Zod would be, Zod's close.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty close. If he's done right, like in Superman 2, where that's a better betrayal, I think,
That's the other thing we never got in Man of Steel. Superman was never once ordered to kneel before him.
That's true. But that's what made that. Well, I can't think of the actor. Terrence Stamp's so good. Here's a guy who looks like the Vidal Sassoon guy, but he plays a really good.
Zod of Jor-El, kneel before Zod.
Yeah, I mean that's awesome, right?
So. Lex Luthor, ruler of Australia.
That's why the second Superman is my favorite.
He's awesome. He's a bad guy. Brian?
My final thoughts is I'm just hoping that this new Superman, Batman vs. Superman is going to be good. Well, you know,
we all hope that.
I liked Cavill's portrayal in Man of Steel, so I'm just hoping that, you know, we just get to see it a little develop a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the reason why we didn't see, you know, what you hated about it, you know, with he's not really worried about the citizens. Maybe in this next one he gets a little more worried about them, and we kind of see him progress like that through.
You kind of see like a moral, like,
yes,
physical development.
Yeah,
maybe we find out that his father wasn't actually his father; that was like a fake Jonathan Kent, like the real Jonathan Kent.
Well, I don't know about all that, but yeah,
that would be nice.
Hopefully we see more of a development. That's my final thought.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. All right, Johnny, your final thought.
I'll go back to. Well, it's a point I initially touched on, but I want to save for the end. I always feel like I have to defend Superman as a character, because every time, like, if you talk to someone who doesn't, like, read comics, or, like, if they just go to the movies and they just think, I don't need to see a Superman film because, you know, he's going to win in the end. I mean, but, yeah, that's the thing, is Superman is going to win in the end. But at the same time, it's what we've discussed before, writers have never done him well, or, like, they've done him well occasionally, but what they've gotten away from with him recently is they keep trying to make him identifiable, and that's the worst thing you can do to Superman, is to try to make him an identifiable character, because there's no way you can identify with him. You cannot identify with someone who, if he sneezes, could level your house.
Question, though. Okay, isn't one of the reasons you like Man or Superman 2 is because you felt that was the closest he came to being identifiable?
It's one of the first times that his conflict actually seemed real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but at the same time, it was something that, you know, it was the only time the conflict came between who he was and what he wanted to be.
Well, it dealt with his human side, so to speak. It didn't deal with his powers. It dealt with
right, and emotion. It also. When you had three supervillains, at the same time, you actually felt, yeah, this is a threat. And in the end, he doesn't really win. He has to leave.
Yeah.
So it's... And
has to trick him to win.
He has to trick him to win. And again, it shows that he had to rely on a bit of what he learned as a human to win.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what needs to happen. Like, in order for Superman to be a successful standalone character and not have to resort to... We have to have him fight Superman or be part of the Justice League or whatever in order to, you know, be interesting, is you gotta give him a fight that he has to stand up for. Like in Captain America, The Winter Soldier, what made that probably one of the best superhero films ever made was the fact that, you know, you had a center of moral goodness in the Marvel Universe realize that who he was allied with was going against what he believed as a human. And he fought against that, and that made him a vigilante. And in some ways, maybe that's kind of something that needs to happen to Superman in a way. Like, what he stands for, which is good, is given a spin and then turned to say, oh, well, because he's fighting Luthor, you know, that could be where, you know, our fight with Luthor works, is that, you know, he spins it to where what Luthor is trying to do, he's got everyone convinced that it's something good. But Superman knows better, and he's trying to stop that. And that's again where we get this moral complexity. Like, what worked with The Dark Knight, that by the end of that movie, he won, but what, you know, at what cost? The same thing needs to happen with Superman. You need someone that has... When a writer approaches Superman, you have to approach it in that you can never identify with Superman, but you can identify what he stands for. Because when he was created back... by Joel Siegel and Jerry Shuster, two Jewish immigrants that came to America, that they themselves felt like aliens and felt like outcasts and wanted something to aspire to and something to, you know, to inspire in others. That's what needs to be portrayed in Superman. And it's not the most popular thing, but maybe in this kind of generation, that's what needs to happen.
That's why I'm thinking, you know, not to build off of that again, but that's why I think he needs a different kind of villain. He needs somebody who's going to challenge his morals, his viewpoints. You know, what is it, you know, well, okay, if Superman stands for truth, justice, aka the American way, even though they're taking that part out, let's have somebody threaten that, somebody challenge that, make him confront that, you know,
like confront, Shield.
Yeah. You know, having come up against somebody who's, you know, maybe powerful enough to do some damage to him, but at the same time, really make him make some tough moral decisions, or at least, you know, think about him anyway.
Yeah. So, I wonder if we get that. I hope we get that in the Batman Superman film.
Okay. All right. Well, guys, I think we really covered Superman well. So where can you find us here at Four Midwest Guys? Well, we want to apologize right off the bat. We've been telling you, listen to our podcast, but we haven't really told you how you can do that. We are available on iTunes. Just simply search, put in number 4, Midwest Guys. You'll find us on there. We're on Stitcher. We're on OneCast. We're on pretty much every mobile podcast device out there. If we're not, send me a message. Drop us a line. I'll do my best to make sure we're on there. You can find us on Twitter at number 4 Midwest Guys. You can find us on Facebook.com/the number 4 Midwest Guys. You can find Brian Ankenbauer at AnkZone, AnkZone. You can find me on Twitter at BWillie1977. So there's many ways to reach out to us, and also Gmail, 4MidwestGuys@gmail.com as well. So all kinds of ways to reach out. Please do so. We want to hear from you. Let us know. So with that in mind, Johnny, thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
Aaron?
Yeah, no problem.
And Ankenbauer?
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And we'll catch you next time. Up, up, and away.